Thank you to the panelists for your presentation, which were quite insightful. I'll just make three quick points that I found quite interesting in the comments made. The first is by Ms. Suarez-Franco and the important point about the role of grassroots organizations. You noted, and correctly, that experts are important, but knowledge must come from the grassroots. And I think that's also very important. Very often, we privilege the voices of the experts. And when we talk about experts, often we mean academic and scientific experts. But I like the way you framed that expertise and knowledge can also come from the community and the grassroots. And that's really the essence of the current calls for indigenous forms of knowledge. And it's also related to the question about epistemology, what is knowledge and what is useful knowledge in the context of development. So thank you about that intervention. But I think ultimately it would require an attitudinal shift in terms of what kind of knowledge we value for those of us who are academics, but also at platforms like this, what kind of knowledge is privileged. And what you reminded us about is the need to think about grassroots contribution as expertise, as knowledge that should be valued. Which leads me to Ms. Bradshaw's point. I think it relates about the intentionality of engagement, that engagement has to be intentional, and it has to be centered on a cross-sectoral approach. I particularly like that, an intersectional approach. It reminds me of the statement that has been made here repeatedly, Indigenous clarion call, nothing about us without us. In Canada, where I'm based, we have an interesting phenomenon now where some Indigenous communities are just refusing to collaborate with researchers because they say we've been studied to death. You know, we have all kinds of people coming into our communities to studies, NGOs, academics, corporation, government, and we're exhausted. So, you know, so researchers are finding it increasingly difficult to find the Indigenous communities that we engage. But then I think it speaks to the point you make that the approach has to be intersectoral. So if we're going to engage with the voices of Indigenous communities, the burden is on us, our development experts, to get our acts together, to coordinate in a way that do not exhaust Indigenous communities that we partner with. So the point you make about intersectorality, it's a crucial one. In operationalizing the right to development. And finally, Mrs. Manu, thank you very much for your intervention. You also talked about the benefit of engagement, but also crucially, I think, the benefit, the importance of building capacity. We cannot have meaningful engagement if there isn't a base knowledge about the facts. And the clearest evidence of this is climate change, or even the contemporary discourse about the ethical use of artificial intelligence. How do you have a meaningful and productive conversations with those who are marginalized when there is no, you know, factual basis? Again, another example here. We recently organized what we call a climate assembly, where we got Indigenous and all communities, marginalized communities, to talk about climate change. And what became evident very quickly is that no meaningful conversation could be had because there wasn't a base knowledge of what the issues were. And so rather than plunge into some kind of discussion, we realized that we had to take a couple of steps back and start with a foundational discussion about knowledge sharing. And I can imagine that would be true for a topic like, you know, the ethical use of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Even the experts are scrambling to understand the topic, much less communities marginalized that also have to be part of this conversation. So it's really important to think about building capacities as an integral part of engagement if development is to have a meaningful impact for all those concerned. So thank you all for your interventions.